Hello, welcome back to Abe's Front Porch Talk. This is Tuesday night. I know I normally do podcast on Monday nights, but I decided to wait till tonight and to do this podcast. Plus I had some stuff I had to do yesterday anyways, which gave me some time to look over the chapter of Revelations 14 and study it. But folks, I said last week in one of my podcast episodes, it's time we make a change in our life. And if you look around with the natural disasters going on, the floodings, the wildfires, the earthquakes, the volcanoes, and you know, just not the natural disasters in general that's happening, but if you just look at people's heart, how scripture tells us at the end of time, people's hearts will wax cold. And look what is going on. Nobody wants to help anybody anymore. They say it's not their responsibility to help people, but scripture tells us it is our responsibility to help people who are in need. We don't help somebody and expect them to pay us back. Our rewards will be in heaven. If you know somebody that needs a place to stay, you let them come into your home and don't charge them anything, because you're building your rewards up in heaven. You want your rewards there. What you do here on physical earth is what you're going to have gained for all eternity inside the kingdom of heaven. Now, let me tell you this. Sometimes heaven is your reward and you can miss it by not helping somebody in need. Whether it's giving them a pair of shoes, buying them a pair, giving them some clothes. Small things. You know, you can let somebody live in your house for 5 or 6 years and not charge them a dime. Yeah, you're going to have your arguments and you're going to have your strife amongst each other, because why? You're right there together constantly. But you'll eventually feel bad and say you're sorry, or you'll just go on like nothing never happened, and later on you'll laugh about the whole argument. Or won't even remember it 6 months to a year down the road. You know what I'm saying? But you're still there to help each other. And when you die and you let that person stay in your house and not ask them for a dime, and you're standing before Christ and he says, "Will you help my child that was in need and did not ask for a dime? I'm going to let you into my kingdom." That's what you want to hear. "Well done, my faithful servant." And you don't want to hear him say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." Always remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Always go back to the scriptures that talk about the sheep and goats. Remember this. The sheep, I'll say it again, the sheep, Jesus told them, said, "You fed me when I came to you, you clothed me when I came to you, and you gave me water to drink when I came to you." And they're going to say, "When did you come to us and we clothed you and we fed you and we gave you water to drink?" And he's going to say, "Those who I sent to you." And the goats, he's going to tell them, "You fed me not when I came to you. You clothed me not when I came to you. You gave me no water to drink when I came to you." And the goats are going to say, "When did we not feed you? When did we not clothe you? When did we not give you no water to drink?" And he's going to say, "Those who I sent to you." So it could be your family. It could be your neighbors. It could be a close friend. It could be a total stranger off the street somewhere, and you turn them away. And Christ is not pleased with that, because he sent them to you at that very moment. Folks, it's a very dangerous thing to fall into the hands of the Almighty God. Always remember that. Always remember the times we are living in. This is why we need to start making changes, because our signs are here. Whether you want to believe it or not, the signs are here of the end times. And God speaks to us through a lot of natural disasters. It's biblical. It's written in scripture since the beginning of time. He always speaks to us through natural disasters. And if you don't straighten up through that, he will also speak to you through plagues. He will put the plague of locusts and frogs, just like he did in Moses' times, what he done to the Pharaoh and them. And they still will not change their ways. And God was asking Pharaoh and them to let my people go so they could serve me. And we're wanting to be Pharaoh and hold people hostage where people cannot serve Christ. But eventually you're going to have to let people go. Eventually God's going to take you down through plagues and viruses, which is viruses and diseases are plagues from God. And famines. I mean, God can put famines. And look what's happening around the world now. And it's all just going to get worse until people realize God is real, until God is speaking to us that Jesus is the Son of God, angels do exist, there is a heaven and hell, and that Satan has been lying and deceiving people, and those demons have been running rapid. A lot of people has demons that have latched on to them. A lot of people are demon-possessed. They're thinking, their ways of thinking are out of this world. They're not godly. And we need to watch how we act one towards another. And it tells us in scripture, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. And if you offend one of God's little ones, it's best you tie a millstone around your neck. And we're going to learn that. We're going to see this. We're going to see our enemies that's done us wrong collapse under the wrath and vengeance of Jesus Christ. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And that's in scripture. And we're fixing to see his vengeance. We're seeing it now, but we just can't wake up. We keep going about our day. We keep going to our jobs, and we keep going out to eat and not even thankful for that animal, that meat we're eating, that very animal that sacrificed its life for us. We cannot even be thankful. As long as my needs, this is how people are thinking. And let me say what I'm trying to say here. And people think, as long as my needs are met, I don't care about anybody else's needs. That's the wrong attitude to have. You've got to put your needs over somebody else's. You got to put someone else's needs over yours, is what I'm trying to say. I said it backwards. I'm sorry. Put someone else's needs over yours, for it is your responsibility to help people in need. Remember, anytime you turn somebody away, you're turning Christ away. You always will. But if you help somebody, you're helping Christ. So always remember that. We're in a time now that things are going to get even worse, that we're all going to need one another. We're all going to need that shoulder. And if you don't want to help people now, and you say it's not your responsibility now, wait until you're that person that has a need. Wait till you are the one that's without a home, or you're hungry because you can't go buy groceries. And you have a need and you're having to beg people to help you. Wait till you fall sick with some type of disease and you cannot get your medicine and you have to beg for your medicine. But right now it's a different story while you have everything. and you got every excuse not to help someone. And I know I keep saying this about helping people for so long, and I say it a lot in my YouTube videos, and I know I said this a few times in this podcast, but whoever's listening to this, get this through to yourself that we've got to help one another, no matter what. All right, I'm going to take a short break, and I'm going to get into Revelation 14. So let's take this break, folks. All right, folks, I'm back. Thank you so much for that short break. All right, folks. Now, I want to tell you guys something, and I know I've said this before. Since I started reading the book of Revelations and talking about it to you guys, I have been through so much physical and spiritual attacks that I was even unaware what I was even going to go through when I started this. And you know, it let me know that spiritual war battle is real. And I've always believed in spiritual war battles because I fought a lot of spiritual war battles my whole life, even as a child. And even I fought a lot of physical battles, even as a child. There are things that I've experienced spiritual that is hard to explain. And I believe I told you guys this before. And I'm actually thinking about maybe trying to talk more about this. But in 2012, I was asleep. And it was late during the night. It was way after the midnight hours. And I guess you could say early morning hours. And it may have been around the 3 and 4 o'clock a.m. time. So, as I was asleep, I remember waking up and I was thirsty. And I remember having a thirst like I've never thirsted before, I guess you could say. And I was just, I don't know how to really explain it. The thirst that I felt. So I was like, I need to get up and get some water. So I got up, I flipped my bedroom light on, and I stood there at the light switch to go out my bedroom door, and I was like, you know, I'm too tired just to even go to the kitchen. I think I'll just lay back down. And so I didn't even turn the light back off. I lay down in the bed, covered myself back up with a blanket, and Next thing I knowed, I felt something pulling and tugging on my blanket, and it was like I was fighting this thing in tug of war. And then, next thing I know, this demon jumped right on top of me and said, "Hey." And it was in a man's voice when it spoke to me. And I remember trying to get the words out of my mouth, but I was trying to speak to this demon. And it was almost like I could not speak. And I finally got it out. And I remember saying, "In the name of Jesus Christ, go away." And it was like I was in a trance. Whatever happened, I believe this demon, while I was asleep, attacked me during the night while I was asleep. And whatever it done to me in 2012, while I was sleeping, it wanted me to know it was in my room, it was around me, it had already made its attack. I just didn't realize it at that time. And then it put me in a trance and made me thirsty. And that's when I woke up, you know. And it already done its damage before I had woken up. A lot of people don't believe that. But it, you know, you will find out if these are truly the end times. You will definitely find out that even though you walk closely to God, a demon will still come and hurt you because they want to take you out. They don't want you serving Christ. They want you out of the way. And if they can do anything they can do to you to get you out of the way, they will do it. And I also believe that that demon may had even been trying to possess my body. And it was just hoping I would say, "What do you want?" But I would not allow it to possess my body. Now, I thought about this since that night. Since that very night this happened. Now, let's move it to 2022, and I become sick. This was in 2012. 2022, I become sick, put into hospital twice, and I'm still recouping from a lot of my sickness from last year. And my mind goes back to that very night of 2012. What did that demon do to me? What all did it do? It's a scary situation out here, folks. And we're in that time now that we're fixing to learn about heaven and hell. I believe we're fixing to experience a lot of supernatural occurrences that people are not aware of. And that right now you can listen to this podcast and laugh and mock the story about the demon grabbing me at night. You can say sleep paralysis or whatever you want, or it was just my imagination, or I had to be dreaming. But let me tell you, the things that's to come, you're going to wish you were dreaming. You're going to wish you had not laughed and mocked at this very podcast or anybody who has talked about what they experienced supernaturally that told you the truth and you would not believe, because it has not happened to you. But there are many people who has laughed and mocked at stories like this from others that has experienced demonic possessions or demons in their house that they had to have exorcised. Let me tell you, there are people who laughed and mocked at that. And now they're dead. And now they're seeing that these things are real, but it's too late. And they can't come back to tell you. So I want you guys to think about that. And that's why I say, since I started the book of Revelation, I've been through so much. And it's like Satan is trying to shut me down every which way I turn. And if he's doing it to me, he's going to do it to you as the child of God. He doesn't want you serving him. He don't want you serving Christ, what I'm getting at here. He don't want you serving Jesus or the Holy Spirit or anything. He doesn't want you walking in your calling. He will do anything to stop you and bring all distractions he can. And we just have to keep our faith and know. And know the people that God sends to us are God's true children that prophesy to us that they are hearing from God. That they're hearing from Christ. And stand up on his word every day and night. So, I'm going to go on and start with verse 1 here of chapter 14 of Revelations. Remember, I read from the King James Version, so I hope you guys can follow along. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from all the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patient of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So I'm going to stop right there at verse 12. Now, we taught last week in Revelations 13 about you can't buy or sell without the mark being in your right hand or your forehead. I have been seeing videos on TikTok, and it's probably on other social media apps too, but I've seen this on TikTok where now you can get a chip, a microchip, I believe it is, put inside your head and have your head scanned to buy your groceries with. And, you know, they've already got one for your hand that you can just slide your hand across a machine and it will detect that chip and pull your money off of that chip out of your bank account. Now, why would you want this already, knowing what the Bible says? And I think somebody said they had to pay for this to be done. Right now, you got to pay for it. But see, this is where the Bible says the very elect will be deceived. Why would you want to pay to have the beast put in your hand or your forehead? You're buying your way into hell when you do that right now. But there is a day coming where it will be forced upon you and it will be done for free. You won't have to pay for it because you will have to take it. But here's the thing. You've got to be strong, like I said last week, and say, no, I will not take that mark. I'd rather starve. I'd rather die with my sickness. I'd rather die than take that mark and be in hell. No matter if the government or whoever takes your loved ones, whether it's your children or your brothers, your sisters, your best friend, your neighbors, and say, I will kill them right before your eyes if you do not take this mark. You've got to be strong and say, go ahead, for they will be with the Lord and so shall I. You have to be that strong and not be weak and not faint through this. Be strong-minded. And of course, you're going to become weak. You're going to become weak through it all. But it's best you say no and not to take the mark, as I just read, because you will have to face the wrath of God when you do this. And, you know, do you want to be tormented with fire and brimstones in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb? Because you took the mark of the beast. Because you rather served the Antichrist than Jesus Christ. Because you have to do without. Once again, you will have to do without. This is why I was saying in the beginning that we're going to be living in a time where we need to lean on each other. Right now, you have all that you need, but one day you won't have everything you need, and you're going to have to depend upon somebody else to help you. Many of you don't want to have to depend upon somebody. You're too prideful. But we're coming in a day where we will. Because if you don't have that mark of the beast, you can't buy or sell. And think about it, the beast system has always been among us for many years. And it started with our grandparents' times, or great-great-grandparents' time, depending on your generation of your family. And the thing of this is, I've said this before, look at the Social Security Administration. It didn't come in until the 1930s. Sometimes in the 1930s when it came in, because I spoke about this in my YouTube video. And it's been around, I think, what I read, for 80-something years now. Okay, so this was accepted, and it all sounded good to our grandparents during that time. Great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents during that time frame. It all sounded good. All that smooth talk about, oh, you will have this Social Security Administration where you can work and pay into it, so when you reach retirement age, your money will be there. And then it come years later that they decided, oh, we'll have it where people can get disability after they become sick. You know, people work, they cannot make it to retirement age, but they are paid into this and they can get disability. Well, guess what? When you do work and pay into it and you're trying to get your disability, they have the right to deny you. They got so many rules and regulations, and people's like, well, you didn't meet their rules. You didn't meet their regulations. That's a lie of Satan. Do not believe that. That will get you in so much trouble with Christ. That's what this scripture is trying to tell you. Do you want to take the mark of the beast and then be tormented with fire and brimstone in front of the holy angels and the holy presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and Savior? Or would you rather say no more of this? See, they had it all outs where it sounded so good, the smooth talking, and people fell for this because it sounded good. It sounded good to the ears. And when it comes time to take that mark, to buy and sell, when it comes down time to it, it's going to sound so good, just like they did with the Social Security Administration. And look how they turned people away. Look now at the credit bureaus. If your credit is bad, you can't buy a home because you have bad credit. Think about this. You can't buy a home because your credit score is bad. I've heard in some cases that if you try to rent a house or an apartment, they do a credit check. And if your credit's bad, they will not rent to you. Right there, it's the beginning of it all, and it's been the beginning for many years. We were blinded and could not see. We need to open up our eyes physically and spiritually. No more blindness in these last days. Open up your eyes and hear what is going on around you. Open up your ears physically and spiritually. Before it's too late, don't allow this to creep up on you any longer. Do not believe the smooth talking. Do not fall for the lies of Satan and those demons, because he knows how to use people to do all this smooth talk. Look at a salesman, like you're trying to buy a used car, and a salesman comes out to you, and they have you thinking this car is the best car on the lot. That an old lady had the car and she only drove it to the grocery store and back home. And then you buy this car. You test drive it first and it does good and you buy it. And then the next day it breaks down on you and it gets to smoking and carrying on. And it sure as you bought it, because that salesman done smooth talked you into buying it and lied to you by saying the old woman had it. And as far as she drove it was to the grocery store. And when you test drove it, it drove good for you. Until the next day after you done signed papers and you can't do nothing about it because it's yours. That's how it is with the Antichrist, and that's how it will be with this mark. That's how it was with the Social Security Administration. Pull a lot of this up. That's how it sounded with the credit bureaus. Oh, we'll help the companies and banks with the credits. That way, if people borrow money and not pay it back, nobody won't get ripped off by people that don't pay the money back. If your credit's bad, you can't even get a loan to buy a vehicle to get you from point A to point B. It's been here among us for many years. Now we're going to have to suffer the fire and brimstone because we accepted it. And it started years ago with our great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents because they believe a lie. It was all smooth talk. And today it's worse. look around with what's going on in the world today with all the education and careers and stuff. It's all smooth talk to take this. Can you not see the lies and deception? When Jesus fasted for those 40 days, Satan came to him and tempted him and said, if you bow down to me, I will give you the kingdoms. And Jesus rebuked him, told him nobody bows down to nobody but the Father and the Father only. So Satan said, I couldn't get the Son of Man to bow down to me. I get the man, I get the creation to bow down to me, and I will do it. And that's what we have done. This, what we're living in today, was what Satan promised Jesus about the kingdoms when he fasted those 40 days. And we're living in that time now. And we can't see it. And God will tear it down. It tells you in Scripture, God builds up nation and he tears nations down. We're fixing to see a big change go on in this world. And I believed, like I've heard other preachers say before, that we're going to have a supernatural occurrence go on. And people are going to believe and they're going to know God is real. But it's still going to be up to you to repent of your sins and turn away from all this wicked ways that's going on in the world. The supernatural occurrences that's going to take place will wake people up. Do you understand what I'm trying to get through to you? Right now, many of you go to church and you say you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that there is a God. You know about the Holy Spirit. You know there are angels. You know there's a heaven. You know Satan is real. You know demons are real. And you know they're in hell. But yet, you're not walking in the power of Christ. You don't think Satan and those demons can come out and change people's minds and their thoughts and possess people either. And you're going to church and you read the Bible about how Satan took over Judas's body when he betrayed Jesus. And you don't think Satan can do that today in our time? You have lied to yourself and you deceived everybody around you, including your own family. You don't think demons can come out and be in your home and do things in your own home and destroy your lives and cause bad things to come upon you in your life? You are sadly mistaken, but yet you sit in church and you hear the sermons. And if you are at home after church and during the week after you go to work and come home and you're sitting there after you have your little break of fixing supper for yourself or your family and you got that peace, you should be in your Bible, reading the Bible. And you should know about this stuff because you are warned about it. And if you believe that the book of Revelation is about the end of time, you will know. But it tells you right here in Scripture, it says, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Remember 13 that I told you, people were bowing down to the beast, and we're doing that today in so many ways. So you're warned in chapter 13, and you're warned again in chapter 14, and you're warned about the fire and brimstone in 14. If you go back into chapter 9 or chapter 8 about the locusts and the four angels under the Euphrates River, they're not going to rest. They will not sleep, nor will you sleep. They will torment the people on earth 24/7. People will not be able to sleep and they will wear you down. People are going to have to be on the run trying to not be harmed by these things. People are going to try to hide out from these things, but they'll probably find them and torment them. Nobody will be safe day or night. And your mind is going to become weak. Your body's going to be drained and tired. You won't be able to think properly. And when it comes time to take the mark, you will take it because you're not thinking properly. Because you done been tormented for so long. And when you take the mark, you're going to be even more tormented. Think about it. Don't be deceived. And let's go back up to verse 6 here, where it says, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." We're supposed to be spreading the gospel. We're supposed to be going from nation to nation. But look at some nations don't even allow the gospel in it, or you will be arrested. Some places don't want to hear about Christ. You can be thrown in prison because they don't want Christ in their nation. And if you serve Christ, you don't have time for hatred. They don't fear God. They see the ocean and the seas and all the waters of the earth. They look around at the trees and the plants, every plant that is on earth. Every animal, every human being, they see this. And they don't see that God, a Father, Heavenly God, that sent His Son to die for us. They don't see that He exists. They don't want to fear Him that created the heavens and the earth, that put the seas and all the fish that is in the sea. They don't want to fear a holy and just God because they want things done their way. They rather serve Satan. But they don't realize they're serving Satan. And that's the problem with the world. We have scientists around the world that they don't believe in God. They teach that God is not real. This heaven and earth is not real. And a lot of times it's taught in your schools to your children. And you go to church, but your children has been taught by the science teachers that how the earth actually began. You know exactly what I'm talking about, and it goes against the Bible. If you want God back into your homes and back into your nation, you've got to get science out of the school system because it's a lie. God will not tolerate any more lies. He will not deal with the deceitment taught to the children. He will not allow the children to be corrupt. He has called and ordained them and sanctified them for this time and this very hour for the last days. God said, "My children, the young shall prophesy and the old shall dream dreams." He says, "I will raise up my children and they will do my work in these last days. Do not corrupt my children any longer, or you will meet my wrath and my vengeance." I am calling out my wrath and vengeance now, and you cannot see it. You have deceived your own self as an adult, but you will pay dearly for it unless you repent. But you will not take the repentance because you think you're living righteous. But I, the Lord, says you are not. Your heart is very far from me. I will not tolerate nobody's heart's been far from me, because you're lying to yourself, you're lying to your family, you're lying to the church, and I'm shutting the churches down because of this reason. My churches have become so corrupt. Preachers are all about money. Money is the root of all evil. You best wake up, because I'm coming and I'm shutting the doors down. I'm setting fire to the house of God, and many people will not be able to enter back into those churches because I will set fire to them. I will set fire to every man and beast, just like my word says. Some will be physical, and others will be spiritual. Tempt me one more time, thus saith the Lord. Tempt me one more time, and you wish you were never born. You will wish you were never, ever alive. The sickness upon the earth that is coming, people is not prepared. People won't walk in the fear of the Lord. My warnings have been warnings after warnings, but you get no more warnings. Many of you I've called to preach. Many of you have called yourself to preach. And do you not understand Scripture where it tells you that you are responsible for every soul? And I will hold you accountable for every soul. So, you are accountable. Fear the Lord. People say there's no such thing as God, that they need proof that God exists. But every time I look around and I see trees, I see plants, I see the birds, I see animals, I see the grass, I see a garden where people's planted gardens and the fruit of the seed is grown. And I know God put that here for us to eat because He loves us. But if you ever get greedy, He will take it away. For the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Many of you think you fear God, but you do not. You don't know what fear is until you see Christ. And many of you have to face Him in the afterlife. Many think they're walking in the fear of the Lord now, and they die in a freak accident, or they drop dead with a heart attack or stroke, or they've died with some natural sickness. And they thought they were ready to meet the Lord. And they were not. They thought they were walking into fear and never were. And once they draw their last breath, they seen it. We're too busy in the politics and the things of the world and not hearing what God is really saying anymore. We don't need to be for either party of the government as the children of God. We just need to know what God wants. And whoever you think God wants you to put in office is who you should put in office. Because you have the right to vote. But remember, God puts the leaders in office, whether they're good or bad. But he knows, like here in America, we get to go and vote for our leader, so he knows what man already wants and who man wants to help put in there. It's up to you to listen to Christ to know who Christ is wanting, and not let your own thoughts and opinions get in the way of that voice of Christ. We're all guilty of that. I'm guilty of it. Just admit it to yourself. If we really feared the Lord, we wouldn't allow science in the school system teaching different how the world was created. Our doctors, they do blood work on us and tell us the blood work is bad and give us these bad diagnoses, even in small children. And all that's a lie of Satan. Because Satan wants to stop everybody and to bring people down. And Satan knows who to hit health-wise to make them stop in their tracks from serving Christ and get mad at him. Many people have stopped because of their sickness has stopped. If we all would come together as one body and that one mind and one accord like they did on the day of Pentecost and pray for healings, people would not be sick today. Do you understand me? You claim to know God and you claim to have this relationship and you claim to believe in God, but you're not walking in the power of God. If you don't want to believe God heals anybody, stay away from me. I don't need you. If you don't want to believe that Christ heals after he says by his wounds you are healed, and Paul wrote, lay hands upon those who are sick. Jesus taught, lay your hands upon those who are sick so they can be healed, and that his disciples went around and healed the sick, casted demons out of them. If you don't want to believe in that, you need to stay away from me because I don't need a lightning bolt come and strike me for standing next to you, because you're going against the word of God. You're going against the Bible. Don't go against it. We all have our different beliefs in a lot of things and opinions. Doesn't mean everybody's right or wrong. You have to respect that, because people can read scripture and get different things out of it. But when it says you can lay your hands and God will work through you for people to be healed, you best believe that. We need to start standing in faith with one another. For if two shall agree upon anything, so shall it be done. We need to start fearing the Lord and praying one for another. Every child that is sick around the world, we could come together and pray, and that child would be healed. We could see cancer vanish. We could see a lot of people sick with a lot of viruses and diseases just vanish. Doctors say there's no cure for a lot of it, but that's a lie. That's a lie of Satan, because Jesus is the cure. We just have to pray and fast and stand in agreement with one another. The more people you get to pray for your healing, the more you will be healed. What else do you think? If God can create the heavens and the earth and put all the waters here on the earth and create the animals, what else do you think He can do for you? He created your body. You don't think He can heal it? You don't think He can speak to you like He did the prophets in the days of old? Jesus still spoke to His disciples after He died. Scripture says, "My sheep knows My voice." Fear the Lord. For you know this is the hour of His judgment of everything we're living in now. With all the natural disasters, this is His judgment upon us, and it's going to get worse until people wakes up and realizes this. He even says, "I reign on the just and the unjust." Remember that He reigns on the just and unjust. Just like when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden and Eve took of the fruit and then she took it to Adam and Adam ate, even though Adam was innocent, but he took of the fruit because he didn't know where it come from, but he trusted Eve. God gave him Eve, so he trusted her. In my opinion, Adam was innocent. And I want you to understand where I'm coming with this. Adam was innocent, but Eve was guilty for believing the serpent, for believing his lies and taking of the fruit. But because God says, "I reign on the just and the unjust," Adam got punished too. You see what I'm saying? He punished the wicked, He punished the one who failed, but He also punished the other one. So think about that. The just and the unjust, He will reign. So He plays no favoritism on any of that. This is all I have for you tonight. Stay tuned for a part two later on this week. Guys, I hope you enjoyed this. Share it with your family and friends. Don't forget to follow or subscribe. Check out my YouTube channel at Abe's Front Porch Talk. I hope you enjoyed this. Thank you guys for listening.